Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Reveal. I am so glad that you are here with us for the first Sunday in June. Has to be better than May. Let's just eliminate May from the history books. Hey, glad you're here. If you don't know who I am, my name is Marty. I'm one of the pastors of Reveal, and really glad that you carved out some time to join us. Do me a favor, if you're viewing on the reveal.online.church platform, at the top there is a button that says connect. Click on that, give us a little bit of information, and we'll send you some information regarding the church. If you are viewing this on Facebook, send me an email to marty@revealvineyard.com, and I will send you some information regarding the church. Hey, make sure you check out our bulletin, revealvineyard.com. There's an online bulletin there. We will, as we're starting to get things going, there'll be activities and events that will be coming online, so make sure you stay in the know. And then also, there is obviously a lot of turmoil going on in our country right now. I did release a video with some of my thoughts on that. If you didn't get it, it is on our Facebook page. I also emailed it to our newsletter, whoever is on our newsletter. But if you didn't receive it, and if you'd like to, send me an email at marty@revealvineyard.com, and I will send you a link on that. The big news, of course, is that we have our grand reopening on June 14th, 2020. That is Sunday. And here's the best news, as I spoke to your seat, and it misses you. Okay, so this is coming up on the 14th. Make sure you note the new service times, 8, 9, 30, 11. All of the services are changing. All service times change. There's an 8 o'clock, a 9, 30, and 11. Really not sure what to expect for attendance. I'm thinking maybe 35% of the church is going to come for this first rollout. I think we'll stagger as we go. But we are adding an additional service just to kind of provide some space for everyone. If you'd like, wear a mask, feel comfortable wearing a mask. All of our children's volunteers will be asked to wear a mask. Every other ministry areas, greeters and stuff like that, we're leaving it up to them. We are asking, hey, practice social distancing, kind of the no contact zone. Let's respect one another's space, but I'm excited to be back worshiping with you, and your seat is excited for you to plop it right down on there. All right, here we go. We are on the final week of our series called Juiced: Power When You Need It. Throughout this series, we have been using our cell phones as a metaphor for life, right? We've said that your phone was created by a creator, that your phone was created with a purpose. Your phone was beautifully created. Gone are the brick phones from the early 1990s. We said that your phone has untapped potential, that there are apps that you have never used. We said that your phone was chosen, most of us anyways. We selected our phone. And then we said that your phone was bought with a price. They may tell you it's free, but you're paying somewhere for that phone. And then we also said that regardless of what type of phone you have, regardless of its processing powers or its features or its potential, that if your phone's battery is not charged, your phone is of little use. And we had this little phrase that we've been saying, no juice, no use. It's true for everything in life. No juice, no use. Well, listen, you have been created by a creator. You have been created with a purpose. You have been wonderfully and beautifully created. You have untapped potential, meaning God sees something in you that you don't even see in yourself. You have been chosen and you have been bought with a price. And just like your phone, if your battery is dead, if your soul is depleted, doesn't matter what you are or what you've been created to do, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your purpose is, if your battery is depleted, if your soul is drained, then you are of little use. Here it is again. No juice, no use. It's true for all of us. No juice, no use. In other words, you can't be what you were created to be. You can't do what you were created to do because your soul is depleted. When my battery is low and I don't have the opportunity to charge it, I can put my phone into low power mode. And the low power mode allows the battery to be extended, but it also causes the phone's performance to suffer. right? It, in other words, it doesn't do quite everything that it should do, or at least it doesn't do it as well. Its processing power is a little slower. Some of the apps don't work quite right, or the screen isn't as vivid and it's not as bright. It's true for me as well that when I'm out of juice, when my soul is depleted, I naturally go into low power mode. And here's the thing. In low power mode, I'm not at my best. It's difficult to have a healthy relationship when you have nothing to give. It's difficult to be the parent that you want to be when we only have 10% battery life left. It's difficult to manage stressful situations when your soul is flashing 5% remaining. Right? We're just not at our best. Our lives are not as vivid. Our lives are not as bright. Now, we can try to fake it till you make it. We can try to pretend everything's all right. We can try to pretend that our lives are vivid and our lives are bright. But at some point, your soul's going to say, there's not enough juice for this. There's not enough power for this. We can only do one thing right now. We are in low power mode. When I'm in low power mode, I am not at my best. When I'm in low power mode, man, I will cut corners. I will take the path of least resistance. When I'm in low power mode, I'll make excuses. That's just what I do. When my battery is low, I'm more likely to lie to myself. Why? Because there's no energy to fight with the voices in my head, and so I'm just going to believe whatever voice screams the loudest. You're probably the same exact way. When I'm in low power mode, I will procrastinate. Now, here's something you should know about your pastor, is I am naturally a gifted procrastinator. That's just who I am. So I don't really need any help with the low power mode. That's just the way I kind of flow. But interesting story is we are refinancing our home, and I needed to pay for the appraisal. And so our mortgage officer, loan officer said, we need a debit card number. And I said, well, there's some things up in the air. So let's wait until we see if these loose ends are tied up before I give you a debit card and you charge me $550. A couple of days later, he said, okay, everything's set, we're good to go. And I was like, well, I'm driving now. And I really was. I was like, I can't give you the debit card for the $550, I'm driving. Can you call me back? And he called me back, and I was in a meeting. And I said, I'll call you back. 3 days later, I called him back, all right? Not proud of that, but that's sort of. 3 days later, I called him back. I said, hey, I'm ready to give you my debit card. And he said, good news. He said, because of the coronavirus, they're not sending people to homes to take photos and to do an actual appraisal, so the fee has been waived. So I said, would you do me a favor? Would you talk to my wife and tell her that my procrastination has actually saved us money? He wouldn't do it. Hey, procrastinators unite, right? Don't give up. One day there will be a payoff. All right, moving right along. When I'm not at my best, I procrastinate. When I'm in low power mode, I start to feel entitled, like I deserve something, anything that will give me an immediate jolt of energy. When I'm in low power mode, I will blame others and deflect responsibility. In other words, I've never been through a low power mode season of life, and I've been through many of them. I've never been through a low power mode season of life and then later looked back on that season and thought, yeah, I crushed it. I usually barely survived it. In other words, everything that I was associated with suffered because my battery was depleted, my soul was out of juice, and I went into low power mode, and everything I touched, everything that I was associated with, suffered because of it. And so then we've been asking, well, how do we remain juiced? I'll give you the 60-second review. We said, we must be connected to the source. And we said, hey, Jesus is always the source. He is the power source. We said that faith is the power adapter that connects us to Jesus. Without faith, there is no connection. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so faith is our connector. And then we said the cord is scripture, prayer, and worship. They are cord activities, cord spiritual disciplines, think of it like that, that we must engage in that moves the power from the source to the device. And of course, the last part of this metaphor was the device. The device is what benefits from the power source. You are the device. I am the device. What happens when our device is fully charged? Well, Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through him who strengthens me. Another translation, I have the strength to face all conditions. How? By the power that comes from the source that Jesus gives me. Do you see it? Right? We love to quote this passage, but this passage doesn't happen unless we're connected to the source, unless faith connects us, unless we're engaging in the cord activities. Well, we've already looked at the first two parts of that cord, scripture and prayer. And today I want us to spend a little bit of time on worship to kind of dig into what that means. But I'm going to go through it quickly because I also have some questions and some final thoughts that I want to leave you with as we are wrapping up this series. So here are my thoughts. So let's ask the question, start by asking the question, why worship? Here's my first thought. Why worship? Because you and I, you are a worshiper. You've been created to be a worshiper. In other words, it's in your DNA. It's who you are. It's how you've been created. You don't need to go to church to be a worshiper. It's just been created in you. In other words, we will give ourselves to something. We will worship something. How do you know what you worship? You worship whatever you value most, wherever you plant your time, whatever claims your heart, whatever consumes your money. You are, I am already a worshiper. Why worship? Here's number two. Because there is a war for your worship. There is a spiritual principle taking place. There's a spiritual battle, spiritual elements that are taking place that are trying to keep us from worshiping the one who is worthy to be worshiped. There is a spiritual dynamic, principalities and powers that are trying to keep us blinded to the fact that God is worthy of worship and God calls us to be worshipers. There is a war for your worship going on even right now at this moment. Number three, why worship? Well, because we've been created to worship and because there is a war for our worship, something or someone will receive your worship. Without question, something or someone will receive your worship. You may worship your body image, which means you're going to hang out at the gym, right? You're on the ninth punch to your customer loyalty card at the plastic surgeon, whatever, you know. Yeah, you may worship your image. We can worship money, right? Something's going to get our worship. It's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve what? Two masters. Either you'll hate the one and you will love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. What is Jesus saying? Jesus knew that the number one competitor for our heart, for our affection, for our worship, the number one competitor for what we give ourselves to is this thing of money. See, as our creator, he knew something. He could have said anything. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve, or you cannot serve God and fame or God and sex or whatever. But God knew it was going to, money was going to grip us. We can worship image. We can worship money. We can worship a cause. We can worship possession. We're all going to give ourselves to something. Why worship? Because you will resemble. Go to that next one, please. You will resemble what you worship. Look at Psalm 115. But their idols, what they were worshiping, are silver and gold made by human hands. Those who make them will be like them. It is this idea that whatever we give ourselves to, whatever we worship, whatever we turn ourselves over to, that eventually we become more like them. This is why we're called to be worshipers. It's one way that sanctification happens. It's one way that we are transformed. It's one way that we are changed. Whatever we give ourselves to, we will more closely resemble. Here's my final thoughts when we think about worship. Why worship? Look at John 4. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind, now catch this, the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Think of it this way, that right now God, who is upon his throne, is seeking worshipers. There's only two people that God seeks. He seeks the lost, right? Luke 19 says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost, and he seeks worshipers. See, well, why worship? Because right now the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, 2 Chronicles 16. And he's looking for worshipers. He's looking for those whose hearts are completely his. Why worship? Because you are a worshiper. Why worship? Because there is a war for your worship. Why worship? Because something or someone is going to receive your worship. Why worship? Because you will, over time, more closely resemble whatever it is that you give yourself to, whatever it is that you worship. And why worship? Because your Father in heaven is seeking worshipers. So important is this idea that God says that if you don't worship me, something will. Creation will cry out. God seeks worshipers. He doesn't seek the most popular. He doesn't look for the most talented. He doesn't look for the best looking. He doesn't look for the wealthy. Right now, the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Hey, how are you doing in this area? How are you doing in this area of worship? Now listen, there's always this struggle because some people say, well, I'm not naturally a worshiper. I'm not naturally expressive, and so I do not express worship like so-and-so does. And listen, you don't have to. You don't have to express worship like I do or like Daniel does or anyone else, but you do have to express it. There has to be something. There has to be some way that we are expressing our worship to God because you have been created to be a worshiper. Now, I know I went through that quickly, but it's because I want to leave us with some questions, right? We're wrapping up this series. Next week is back normal, in live, in person, and I want to be able to finish out this series by asking you some questions. By the way, if you're not coming to the service next week, we will still have this ready for you online, so you can still be part of your community. So let's finish this thing out by me asking you a couple important questions. Here's my first question for you. How is your soul? Right, we're talking about being juiced. We're talking about our souls being drained. We're talking about low power mode. We're talking about being in an environment right now that is battery draining. It is energy sucking. How is your soul? If you had to be honest with yourself, how is your soul? What does that look like? If you had to put a percentage on the battery meter of your life, what number would you place on it? Would it be 50%? Would it be 70%? Or are you kind of down in that basement, 15%, 20%? What does that look like for you? Here's another question. Is your current pace sustainable? With everything that's going on in life, and life is life, right? There's always something happening. Is your current pace sustainable? Are you giving out more juice than you're receiving? What about this one? Is there anything in life that is draining you exponentially? Is there anything in life that is sucking the life out of you exponentially? See, there can be apps on our phones that are running in the background that we don't even know. All we know is that my battery isn't lasting as long as it used to. Hey, are there any apps running in the background of your life that are pulling the life out of you, that are draining your battery? These are parasitic apps that drain us of the life, the juice that God wants to put into us. These are parasitic apps that never ask for attention or never ask for permission. Or if it did ask for permission, it was tucked within a 15-page agreement that we just scrolled to the bottom and clicked the I agree box. These are things that run in the background, hidden and out of sight. And if you're going to address these apps that are battery suckers, you're going to have to work at it because they don't make it easy for you to find them. So let's talk about some battery killers in our lives. Here's my thinking. Here's a battery killer. Pain. See, if your soul is depleted, If your battery is low, let's talk about this idea of pain, because chronic pain, both physical pain and emotional pain, is a battery drain. It's a battery killer. Physical pain, we understand, right? Physical pain we live with 24/7. Physical pain, it's with us every waking hour. You may have done nothing throughout the entire day, but at the end of the day, you are exhausted from dealing with the physical pain. Physical pain, it's easy to identify because that pain is present, but emotional pain is often hidden. Emotional pain runs in the background. Emotional pain is a parasitic battery killer. It remains concealed and out of sight. Its authority is found in the shadows. It's pain that we've never dealt with. It's pain that we've ignored. It's pain from past relationships. Maybe you said, I do, and they said, I do, but what they meant is, I do until this gets old or this gets boring. Maybe it's pain from words that have been spoken over us. Maybe it's pain from childhood trauma, or maybe it's pain from offenses that we've never dealt with and never put down. See, sometimes I think we wonder why we are out of juice, and partially the reason might be because there are these background apps that are running that are draining us of life, and pain is a key background app that has dramatic and drastic effect on our lives. See, my father is a hurting individual. My dad was born and raised in Germany, came over when he was 19, severely abused as a child. Things that get parents thrown into jail. And he often said that, I wish I could go back and relive my life. And then he paused and he said, but if I'm honest with myself, I would probably make the same stupid decisions all over again. He said it a little bit more colorfully. See, there is pain running in the background of his life that he never dealt with. And that pain comes out, it manifests itself in secondary emotions and in some really bad decisions that are being made. See, if you ever wonder, why do I keep doing this? It might be because there's an app in the background that keeps leading you to it. And that means that we have to address some of these background apps that are draining us, that are pulling life from our batteries, from the batteries of our soul. Here's another one. If you want to talk about battery killers, what about people? We should all ooh and ah at that one right there, right? People can be battery killers. Now, let me wade into a topic that is cloaked by mystery and folklore. Let me talk just briefly about vampires. Now, you may think vampires are all about tales of late-night horror flicks and campfires, but vampires are real. And I'd be willing to bet that you know a couple. Vampires, not the sink my fang, their fangs into you and I want to suck your blood. Not that kind of vampire, right? Vampires that when they're around you for too long, they suck the life right out of you. Anyone come into mind? A vampire, right? They're not blood suckers, they're life suckers. They're joy suckers, they're peace suckers. And every time you're around them, they sink their fangs into you and they drain you of life. They drain you of juice. They leave you depleted. Hey, vampires can be found at work and school, around the neighborhood. Vampires are even in your family. Did you know that studies show that every family has at least one vampire? Now, think through your family. Can you identify who that vampire is? If you can't, you're it. Just had to break the news to you, all right? Here's the thing. Anyone in your life, a background person running in the background that is draining you, we call them VDPs, very draining people. We all know some of them. And here's the thing. Very draining people may not be bad people. They might just not be the right people. They may just not be the right person for this season in your life. may not be a bad person. They might just not be the right person. See, often we choose our friends based upon common interest, never giving much thought to whether or not there's a common direction. You see, we can have common interests, but it doesn't mean we're going the same direction. You can have something in common with someone, but you might be going two opposite directions in life. What you want out of life may not be what they want out of life. Just because we both like football does not mean that we are going after and pursuing the same things. So just take a quick evaluation of the people in your life. Anyone draining you? Anyone pulling life from you? Are you going the same direction? Are they wanting the same things out of life? Is anyone walking with you on your journey, or are they just draining you? That every time you're around them, you just come back with a little less juice. They drag you into activities that seem like a good idea in the moment, but afterwards, you're depleted. See, whoever we surround ourselves with, they are critical to maintaining our battery health, the health of our soul. We had some friends, very close friends, who got sideways. We were all going to the same church. They got sideways with church, and they left the church. They were mad at the pastor. And so we tried to continue that friendship, and every time we got together with them, it was just a gripe fest and complaining. And we began to notice that every time we left them, we were depressed, we were anxious, we were exhausted. They were affecting our lives. They were draining life out of us. We had to make a decision that we were going to let that friendship kind of drift because it just wasn't good for us. I'm not going to say they were bad people. They just were not the people we needed at that moment. They were not the right people that we needed in that moment. So what does that look like for you? Studies show that we will become the average of the five people we spend most of our time with. We could say it like this, that your battery level will sink with the five people you spend most of your time with. So if that average of those five people is 26%, you're going to fall in that 26% range, right? If that's the average, that's where you're going to fall. It's pretty important to have some people who are speaking life into you and sowing life into you. Here's another battery killer, is this idea of pride. Pride is a battery killer. It's a background app that will cause us to hang on to anger and cause us to hang on to bitterness. You will dig your heels in and you will fight and you will hang on to an offense and you will take it with you into the grave. We can be too proud sometimes to learn and too proud to adjust and too proud to adapt. Here's another background app battery killer, is our past. This is huge. Listen, if you're drained, check into your past. What is that? Does that have any part to play? See, the past running in the background of life will always drain us. Wherever you are today, you can be present where you are in that location, but you can still be living in the past. Pastor Michael Todd says this, that the past, no matter how good or bad, is both the prison of your present and the purgatory of your future. Let me read that again. The past, no matter how good or bad, is both the prison of your present and the purgatory of your future. Meaning, if you're just going to hang on to the past, good or bad, the glory days, right? It's going to keep you from your future. Or it's going to leave you stagnant in your past. Either way. Now listen, listen. We can benefit by learning this principle here. Nothing beneficial happens by being stuck in the past. Now we can honor the past. We can appreciate the past. We can acknowledge the past. We can confront the past. We can deal with the past. We can learn from the past. But we can't live in the past and expect to be healthy. Maybe someone needs to hear this, that the future you does not need to be shackled by the previous you. The person that God is creating you to be is not dependent on the person that you used to be Right? This is the beauty of the resurrection, that his life becomes our life, and he wakes up whatever is dead and dying and decaying in us. And I hope you see it. Now, we just can't pretend like the past doesn't exist. Sometimes dealing with the past takes a lot of hard work. But if you want to get past the past, it's going to take some effort. Without it, it will just continue to creep into the present and then rob us of our future. Here's my last thought. Battery killers is just problems, right? Life is life. There's always going to be something taking place. There's two things that I've learned in my 35 years of living. Okay, two things that I've learned in my life, that there's always some level of discomfort even when life is at its best. There's always some level of discomfort even when life is at its best. The second thing I learned is life is rarely at its best. There's always something that's wrong. There's always some tension somewhere. There's always some chaos somewhere. Two of the kids are doing great and one of them, you don't know what's happening. Right? The marriage is good, but they forgot your anniversary. Vacation was sweet, but it wasn't long, right? It wasn't long enough. There's always something keeping life from being at its best. And so problems are a normal part of life. Listen, pain, people, pride, our past, problems. If one of them comes at me at a time, I can feel that. I can deal with that. But when all of these apps are running in the background at the same time, or when multiples of them are running in the background at the same time, that presents a problem. So what do we do about it? Look, if we have these battery killers in our lives, what do we do about it? How do we adequately deal with it? I have one simple thought to leave with you as we close out this series. Here it is. Unlock your phone. Like, what are you talking about? You'll see it in a minute. If you have all these apps that are running in the background of your life, here's what I leave you with as we wrap up this series. Unlock your phone. Look at Psalm 139, or it's not in there, but Psalm 139, 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. In other words, God, I'm going to unlock my life to you so you can search me, so you can sift through whatever needs to be gone through, that you would examine me closely. Now, listen. A while back, my wife's phone broke, cracked her screen. And we took it in for repair. And when we dropped it off for repair, they needed her phone code, which is a little scary to give someone your phone code. But here's what it is. In order for them to do what they do, and that is bring healing, in order for them to bring restoration, in order for them to reset the phone to be like it was when it was created, they needed access to her personal information, and then she needed to trust that they would handle that information appropriately. Hopefully you see where I'm going. Hopefully you get it. See, God is a God of restoration. God is a God of healing. God is a God of replacing the cracked screen. But in order for God to be a God of restoration, he needs full access to who we are. In other words, we have to give God the code that unlocks all of us. I have to give God the code that unlocks all of me. That if God doesn't have full access, God cannot do what God does. If the phone place didn't have full access, they couldn't do what they do. And so here's my idea. God is requesting full access. Unlock your soul. Unlock your phone. And even the areas that are painful, even the areas that are raw. So that means we're going to need to give God access to our personal files and trust that God is good and loving to handle them appropriately. You see, I cannot expect healing in the areas that I will not invite God into. And so I just kind of have to throw it all open and say, God, here, come in and examine me, search me, even the areas that are painful, even the areas that have been hidden, even the areas of my past, even those things that have been spoken over me, even those memories that haunt me. Come and examine my pride. Come and look at all of it. Examine every part of who I am that I may land on the side of healing. Have you done that? Have you invited the Holy Spirit in to search you? It's a good place to start and a good place for us to end on this series. Listen, healing does not happen when we lock him out. It can't. See, the phrase that we said a couple weeks ago, without God, you cannot, and without you, he will not. In other words, God's not going to overpower you. We have to invite him in. So listen, so your screen is cracked, okay? Welcome to the human race. We're all cracked. So you have stuff running in the background that is draining your life. Welcome. We've all been there. So your battery is out of juice. We get it. We've all ran in low power mode. So there's significant challenges facing you. There's obstacles in your way. We all get it. Let me leave you with this scripture. Romans 8:37. Despite all of these things, hey, the cracked screen, the past, the problems, the pride, whatever it looks, despite everything, despite all of it, here's what we leave you with. We are overwhelming victory. Overwhelming victory is ours. How? Through Christ who loved us. This is a good place to end. Despite all of these things, despite all the ways that we've messed up, despite all the holes that we've put ourselves in, despite all the relationships that we've blundered, despite all of it, despite all of the cracks and all the broken screens and all the broken promises and all the hurt and all the pain, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. I pray that you can get it today. I pray that it resonates within you, that we do not lock him out, but we surrender, we give him access to every part of our personal files, because he is a God of restoration, but it does not happen if we lock him out. I hope to see you next week as we gather live in the church building, 8, 9, 30, and 11. If that doesn't work for you, continue to join us online and join us when you're ready. We'll save a seat for you. Join me as we pray. Lord, we've covered so much in this series, and it's been, I hope it's been good and challenging and insightful. And so today we kind of leave ourselves with some questions. What is it that has been draining us? Lord, is it the people? Is that what has been draining us? Maybe it's time to kind of distance ourselves from some people that are energy drains upon us. Is it our past? Is it pride? Would you show us what that means to each person? Would you reveal yourself to us? And then would we open ourselves to you and say, okay, I'm ready. Maybe it means some counseling. Maybe it means a dedicated season of prayer. Maybe it means some personal reflection. Maybe it means some books and some podcasts we're going to listen to. I don't know what that means for each person, but that we would invite you in and then you would show us what healing looks like and what healing will require. That we can then unlock ourselves and you can show us what's running and then you can just kind of swipe up and get rid of them. So we're praying that you would juice us as life is requiring a tremendous amount of effort and energy right now. And so would you replenish us? Would you renew us? Would you refresh us? Would you juice us with the power of your Spirit, that we may be who you've created us to be and we might do what you have created us to do. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you Sunday. No pajamas. See you then.